The last part of chapter 12 is so naturally connected with what is going to be in 13. Let me read you verse 21 of chapter 12. Lest, again when I come, my God should humble me before you, and I should mourn for many of them that have sinned heretofore, and repented not of the uncleanness and fornication and lasciviousness which they committed. So notice, 10 sins were spoken of in the first epistle, but not all of them are mentioned, and there was more than that one that was guilty of fornication, because in the last verse I read you, it speaks about some that had committed these sins and repented not. How sad that these things could still be going on in the church. Now, in chapter 13, verse 1, this is the third time I am coming to you. At the mouth of two witnesses or three shall every word be established. I have said beforehand, and I do say beforehand, as when I was present the second time, so now being absent, to them that have sinned heretofore, and to all the rest, that if I come again, I will not spare. Now notice, he speaks about those in verse 2, those that have sinned heretofore. He just mentioned them at the bottom of chapter 12. They've sinned and not repented. And he says that when he comes this third time, they're going to be dealt with. All right. And to all the rest, that if I come again, I will not spare. Verse 3. Seeing that you seek a proof of Christ that speaketh in me, who, that is Christ, to you what is not weak, that is powerful in you, for he was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth through the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him through the power of God toward you. Try your own selves whether you are in the faith. Prove your own selves. Or know you not, as to your own self, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless you be disapproved. This word reprobate means disapproved. But I hope that you shall know that we are not disapproved. Now we pray to God that you do no evil, not that we may appear approved, but that you may do that which is honorable, though we be as disapproved. For we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. For we rejoice when we are weak, and you are strong. This we also pray, even your perfecting. For this cause I write these things while absent, that I may not, when present, deal sharply, according to the authority which the Lord gave me for building up, and not for casting down. Whatever you do, it can be misunderstood and misinterpreted. What has happened in this instance is that Paul, knowing about the two behaviors of the Lord Jesus Christ, did more of the first than the second. It's like this. When the Savior said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. I am meek and lowly in heart. Here is the Lord Jesus in meekness and in gentleness. But if you turn to Matthew chapter 23, the Savior says, you hypocrites, you offspring of vipers, you fools, you blind. You say, is that the same man? Yes, it is. But what the Apostle Paul wants to do is this. He wants to imitate the Lord Jesus in his meekness and in his gentleness and in his forbearance. But what he's telling them is this. I have told you, and now I'm coming the third time, and when I do, I'm not going to spare. What happened is this. They had misinterpreted his gentleness, his forbearance, in not coming down upon them with a crushing blow because of their sins. They had said, "Why, this man is characterized by weakness. There is nothing of the power of Christ in him," not realizing that a man in manifesting gentleness and meekness and long-suffering and compassion is manifesting Christ as much as when he comes with power and reproof and rebuke. And this is what they fail to see. And this is what he's talking about here. But he says, "This is the third time I'm coming." Now, these words can be interpreted two ways, and listen to them. He says, "This is the third time I'm coming to you," 13:1. "At the mouth of two witnesses or three shall every word be established." This is what it could mean. It means that I've told you I'm coming and I'm not going to spare, but when I do come and reprove and rebuke and deal with you as sinners, it's not going to be in an arbitrary way, but it will be at the mouth of two or three witnesses. There will be nothing precipitous, there will be nothing unjust, but everything according to what God required in the Old Testament shall be carried out in the New Testament at the mouth of two or three witnesses. Now, it can also mean this in a wider application. Paul said, "I've come to you once, I've come to you twice, I'm coming to you the third time." And these can be looked upon as the mouth of two or three witnesses. He witnessed once, he witnessed twice, and now he's coming to witness the third time. It is certain. It's nothing that he did arbitrarily. It's something that he's given them ample warning and preparation for. Notice, as he said in verse 2, "I have said beforehand, and I do say beforehand, as when I was present the second time, so now, being absent, to them that have sinned heretofore, and to all the rest, that if I come again, I will not spare." This is the message that those who have sinned and are boasting in their holding on to their sin, because something like this has been said, "You saw him when he came the other time. You didn't see him manifest this severity, this power that if he were a real apostle of Christ, he could have manifested. Why, look at all of these new people that have come in and have told us about them. Look how they deal with us. They smite us on the cheek. They bring us into bondage. You see the power that they manifest?" And the Apostle Paul is dissociating himself with their behavior. But he says this. He said, "When I come back," he said, "I'm not going to spare you this time. You will understand that you want to know the power of Christ speaking in me." He said, "I'm going to show you the power of Christ speaking in me." Now, what I want to do is to have you turn to Acts chapter 13. Because we've seen the meekness and the gentleness in the Apostle Paul. But I want you to see what happens when the time comes and the power of Christ that is in him is to be manifested. In chapter 13, look at verse 6. "And when they had gone through the whole island unto Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus, who was with the proconsul Sergius Paulus, a man of understanding. The same called unto him Barnabas and Saul, and sought to hear the word of God. But Elymas the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn aside the proconsul from the faith. But Paul," Saul at this time, "Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, fastened his eyes on him and said, O full of all guile and all villainy, thou son of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand." This is what they were wanting and challenging to come forth from the Apostle Paul. And he tells them, he said, "You want to see Christ working in me? You have seen Christ working in me in meekness and gentleness, tenderness, forbearance, long-suffering. He said, but you want to see him working in a different way? He said, the third time if I come, I shall not spare. And turn to 1 Corinthians 5. I want you to see again how the Apostle Paul can use his authority for tearing down as well as for building up. But this is what he does not want to do. Look at verse 3 concerning the fornicators. He says, make it verse 4. In the name of our Lord Jesus, you being gathered together and with my spirit, with the power of the Lord Jesus, to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Your glorying is not good. Now, look down at verse 12. For what have I to do with judging them that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within? But them that are without God judges. Put away that wicked man from among yourselves. Now, that is what they have been challenging Paul to do again. And he says, I've told you once, I've told you twice, and now this is the third time, and in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. He said, when I come again. Illustrations like I've given you in Acts 13 and in 1 Corinthians 5 shall burst forth upon these at Corinth unless, and this is important that you understand, unless they do repent. Because if they do repent, this is the situation that develops. Here he is in his meekness and gentleness. That's Christ working in him. But he hasn't burst out upon them the way that they want him to, as if the power of Christ must be one of judgment and of vituperation. And so instead of this, Paul says, you can repent. God can work things out in your heart. And if he does, then you will not know the power of Christ working in me. The only thing that you will know is my meekness and my gentleness like the Lord Jesus Christ. Keep that in mind for a moment, because we'll see it as we go along. All right, here are those that have sinned heretofore, and for all the rest, he says, if I come, I'm not going to spare. What is so bad as this? And I've seen it at this chapel, maybe 20 or more years ago, that when there was this family that grievously and persistently sinned against God, and attempt after attempt was made to deal with them, to restore their souls, and they would not repent, finally it was necessary to deal with them and have them removed from the meeting. And when that happened, others came to their side and took their stand with them. Now how could it be? Everything was so patent. It was so evident. All the things that they had done, and yet you'll find that some took their place. Now the Apostle Paul is speaking about those that have sinned, but some have not sinned in that same way, but all the rest. It's the ones like this. This is what he says. Now listen to these words. He said, I hear that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not even among the Gentiles, and you are puffed up, and have not rather mourned that he that had done this thing might be taken away from among you. Do you see? Some of them had not been involved in that fornication, but they were puffed up in glorying because sin was present in them, and they were so tolerant because of all the sin in their midst. How sad. Now, when Paul speaks about those that have sinned and all the rest could include those that still take the side of those that have sinned. Paul said, put away that evil man from among you. He said, your glorying is not good. You're puffed up. This is how the rest of them were. They did not engage in those sins of the flesh. And so the Apostle Paul says, and when I come and deal with those that are guilty of specific sins, he said, I'm going to deal with you as well. And here is an excellent thing for you to take to heart, child of God. I remember in the Old Testament, in Numbers, when Korah and Dathan and Abiram, and all of them rose up against Moses and Aaron, you'll find that others came and took their part. And God's judgment fell upon those that took their part as much as upon Korah and those associated with him. And so what can happen is this, that a sin can arise in an assembly, and you must determine to take a stand for the right. If God says concerning fornication and drunkenness, put that wicked man away from among you, you cannot be puffed up and say, I'm not going to put him away. I'm not going to bring any judgment upon that man. When God says it, you must do it, or else you will be involved in the sin of not obeying God in dealing with sin in the assembly. And that is something that is so heartbreaking. So as much as you regret it, if there is sin, this is what Paul says, mourn that he might be taken away from among you. If there is sin, acknowledge that it is sin, and mourn for the man or the woman who has sinned, and then stand behind those that want to do what God's word commands when it comes to discipline. And this is what Paul is going to have to deal with. And this is what he said he would do when he came. And I want you to remember that if something like this arises, and there is much long-suffering, finally, the word comes, I will not spare. And such words as used in 1 Corinthians 5 and Acts 13 have to be spoken concerning those individuals, and the truth as to what they've done and as to the judgment that they deserve, these words have to be uttered and action has to be taken. So you remember that. And this is what Paul is so apprehensive about. And he says, when I come, I'm going to mourn when I have to do this thing. And at the same time, I'm going to have to use the authority that God gave me for building up, for tearing down. All right, now, look at verse 4. You seek, verse 3. Say you seek a proof of Christ that speaketh in me. I've been telling you about that. This coming forth in power and judgment. He says, who to you is not weak, but powerful in you. For he was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth through the power of God. Understand that the Lord Jesus, who had all power given unto him at the time of his crucifixion and at the end of his life, had great weakness manifested. It says this, that in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he was praying to God, it said God sent an angel and strengthened him. Why? Because a manifestation of weakness. And when he was carrying his own cross to be crucified, do you think that the Romans had compassion in their heart and got Simon of Cyrene to come and assist him? No, because the Lord Jesus Christ says in Psalm 102 that the Father weakened my strength in the way. And here, in this manifestation of weakness, it is just like those that saw Jesus on the cross and said, if you are the Son of God, come down and we will believe you. And so when this weakness that was essential for the crucifixion of Christ was manifested, they said this man couldn't be of God, or he would be filled with power at all times. But the Bible says he was crucified through weakness. And in the Garden of Gethsemane, the Lord Jesus said, this is your hour and the power of darkness. And when he was challenged to manifest his miraculous power, he refused to do it, and he could not do it because he was crucified through weakness. But now, all of that is past. And the Lord Jesus has been raised from the dead by the power of God, and the last words among those that he spoke were these, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And these words, like Paul said, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And so this weakness that Christ manifested, that was only part of his life. Now, he's alive forevermore, and all power is given unto him, and now he bestows that power unto others. And Paul is saying, yes, I'm like Christ. At times I've manifested weakness, but I can also manifest power. Now, it depends upon you and whether or not you repent. All right, look at verse, the latter part of verse 4. For we also are weak in him, But we shall live with him through the power of God toward you. And I take this to be in life down here. Paul said in the last chapter, when he said, take this thorn in the flesh away from me. And the Savior said, my grace is enough for you. The Apostle Paul said, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Because when I'm weak, then am I strong. And so here this weakness is manifested again, and the Apostle Paul rejoices in that weakness. All right. That weakness and the power of God is going to work through him. Now, verse 5. Here is a turn on the situation. They are looking at Paul and trying him, putting him to the test, seeing if he is a true apostle in contrast to these false apostles that are there. But Paul says, you're doing things the wrong way. You are out to try me. But that's not what you're supposed to do. Look at verse 5. Try your own selves whether you're in the faith. Prove your own selves. Now, this is remarkable. Paul, concerning himself, says, I know that I am an apostle. I have manifested the signs of an apostle. I am ordained as an apostle by God. The fruits of an apostle were manifested toward you. And so they keep putting him to the test. Paul says, the thing that you should do is to put yourself to the test, whether you are truly those that have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, why do you say that? Because if you genuinely had faith in Christ, you would have the Spirit of Christ, and you would have a degree of discernment. And therefore, instead of trying me and putting me to the test, verse 5, try yourselves whether you are in the faith. Prove your own selves. Or, do you not know as to your own selves that Jesus Christ is in you? Indeed, unless you be disapproved. Now, I want to show you something, and you can follow it even in your King James. Look at verse 3. Seeing that you speak of proof of Christ in me. Now, look down at verse 5. Try your own selves, whether you are in the faith. Prove, the word prove and proof are the same Greek root word. And then, when it says reprobate, it's the same word approved with dis added to it. Disapproved. And so this word appears again and again. One who is approved is genuine. He isn't reprobate. One who is disapproved is not approved, and he is reprobate. All right. Look at verse 5. Know ye not as to your own selves that Jesus Christ is in you? All right. He is assuming that Christ is in them and that they are genuine believers. But he says, if this is true, you must come to a right conclusion as to who I am, as to my authority, as the words that I speak, that they are the words of God. He says, now, if it turns out that you are disapproved, that you are reprobate, then I can understand why you do not recognize the power of Christ in me, even in gentleness. He said, that it may be that indeed you are reprobate. Verse 6, but I hope that you shall know that we are not reprobate, and the word is disapproved, and that is Paul's desire. He said, through all of this, you are putting me to the test. He said, what my desire is that you are genuinely in the faith and that Christ is in you. And since this is true, that you will understand and recognize that I am not reprobate, disapproved. Understand this. There are tests that are given. If the test is passed, then the word dokimos is used, approved. If the test is given and failed, the word adokimos is used, disapproved, not approved. And that is the word reprobate again and again. And Paul desires for them to be approved when they take the test, and he desires that they know that he is approved when they get into test. And this is part of what we have in 2 Corinthians 13. Time is gone. Let us pray. And Father, let us know that here for a good long while now, the friction has been at a minimum. The arguments have not arisen. No sitting in judgment one on another. But we see, our God, that in the churches there were times when there was joy, as in the church at Philippi, and there were times of confusion and contention, as at Corinth and in the churches of Galatia. We pray, Father, that you shall prepare us for these things, that if dissension comes, we shall see that it was in the church from the very first, and we shall know how to deal with it. But we pray most of all, Father, that as Paul says, you shall not consider us disapproved, reprobate. So let us all, since we have genuine faith in Christ, have discernment and know what is right and wrong, and those who are true and those who are false. And our God, let there be gentleness in our midst, and let there be no necessity for dealing, discipline, and putting away and speaking harsh words, as Paul said, I will use when I come this third time, I shall not spare. Bless us and protect us as an assembly, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen. The meeting is over.